Welcome to the Freud's Angels podcast, where two highly intuitive women dig into everyday problems using our connection to the divine, psychology, and energy work.
We support you in your self-awareness, growth, and aid you in your shadow work. Now we're your hosts.
I'm Vanessa.
And I'm Grace. Let's get into the show.
Hello, angels. Welcome to episode 170 of the Freud's Angels podcast. We are chomping at the bit, I feel. Multiple bits, possibly. But this is one that I feel like it's kind of, we've had a few of these where we're like, this is a great idea. And then when we sit down and we're like, oh gosh, we're going to have to
hear advice.
Own some things. Yeah. We're going to own some things. This isn't as much of just being like, let us share with you some wonderful things. It's also like, yeah, let's share things with ourselves also out loud. So, but it's good. It's a great thing. I feel like it's one of the reasons why we've grown so much since doing this podcast is because it allows us to expand on things that we would like to work on and things that are good for us too. And so, yeah, what does that mean for today, Grace?
We're going to talk about unreasonable expectations. Yeah.
Which is most of them.
Yes. And turns out. Primarily on ourselves, like our self expectations. And and side note, before I get into it, I really hope the sound is better this time. Last week, I understand, guys, it was awful, but I was having such technical difficulties with my computer. We didn't record on the same platform. Just wanted to say, we get it. We're sorry, but it's all good. The message is there. You couldn't hear me, but then you heard Vanessa really loud. And it was like, I spent half the time turning up, turning down, turning up, turning down. And it was like, there was no way for me to fix it. And it was just like, well, let's just put it out there.
Yeah. That's so crazy because during everything seemed normal.
Yeah.
Oh, Mercury, you're so cute.
Yes. Anyways, so this topic is a little personal. Only in the way that I have a horse coming. It is my cat. She is activated. You know, in therapy, God love my therapist. And, you know, sometimes I swear at her internally and sometimes I don't, but I love her all the
time. Sometimes my clients swear at me right out loud and that's okay. I'm glad. I'm like, you tell it.
Yeah. So one of the conversations I've been having lately, because I'm kind of in that space of my goals, right? And struggling with goal setting and creating goals because of fear of the outcome, fear of not meeting my goals and then feeling bad and feeling like a failure, et cetera, et cetera. So there was this whole conversation. And she said to me, you know, can I reflect something back? And I was like, of course. She said, I think you succeed in meeting a lot of goals that I feel you're not even aware of. And I'm like, yeah. And I sat with it and she started sharing a little bit more. And then I was sitting there and it's like out of my mouth. And it's like, I hate it when spirit or my subconscious all of a sudden shows up and just blurts something out and that I have to own it. It said, well, yeah, I expect that of myself. And she just kind of sat back wide-eyed and looked at me and kind of gave me that look like, uh-huh. And I was like,
oh, we love those moments. We love those moments.
And so, you know, and she said, well, yeah, no wonder why you're afraid to set goals because of how hard the pressure that you put on yourself because you have an expectation of what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. And there's no room for like softness, understanding, compassion, support, like within myself. Mm-hmm. Like there are so many things. And there's a part of me that celebrated the realization of that because it's like finally she figures it out. But the other there's another part of me that is like, yeah, but if we don't have expectations, how are we ever going to move forward in life?
I know. Don't you love how our brains come in to be like, no, that's safe and we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah. Like, where's the discipline? I expect perfection and I expect you to work hard and do this. And
yeah,
I was like, oh Jesus. And then I realized, because this epiphany came in the eclipse, was how much actual pressure I put on myself, that I'm still holding that belief of working hard in order to increase my wealth. I have to work twice as hard. Like, I have to work even harder, like less sleep, more work. And I'm like, okay, this is how I ended up with a chronic illness. How is that going to work?
Yeah.
Like, I can't make overtime at my job. I'm salary. So it's like, I started picking up other jobs and I'm like, fuck this.
Yeah. I wish y'all could see her right now. Or it's almost like, she's like, I would like to stop this.
The eye rolls
this
are audible.
This roller coaster is annoying.
But I also feel that, of course, you know, with every season of Mercury and the eclipse, there's always an understanding of myself. There's always that new understanding of the operating systems that are subconscious, that are in autopilot, right? And I think that that's the thing, is that, you know, I think the expectation of me is to get up and to, you know, take care of myself, brush my teeth, make dinner. Like, there's expectation. And my inner self, I guess you want to call her inner child, my inner self has done this like thing recently of coming up with gratitude. Like, every time I do something like cook, or like I have a really productive day and getting the house looking the way that makes me feel good, or I've spent a lot of effort, like there's this sense of like feeling of gratitude. And sometimes I'll even hear thank you. Like, there's a sense of that. And I'm like, why? This is expected. Like, I expect myself to do. And it's like, how well has that worked out for us?
Yeah.
Because that expectation doesn't allow for me to be tired, doesn't allow for me to be in a poor mental health day. Right. And so when that happens and I am in a poor mental health day, or I am tired because I've worked a really long day, I'm very rigid. And so if I do order takeout, or, you know, kind of hang out in bed a little bit longer, there's a sense of lost time and lost time to be able to be productive.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say all this out loud, I'm like, so my fucking father. Sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I just can hear him like, you all are lazy. It's all I keep hearing. And it's like, So,
right. Well, how do you enjoy your life? Like, as you were talking, I was thinking of the idea of constant expectation, right? Like, not just like harsh expectation, but constant expectation, where it's like, okay, I did that. Now what do I have to do? Like, when do you ever really enjoy your life if you're constantly living in having to do in order to feel accomplished, you know? Or, you know what I mean? Like it just feels like, if we always have expectation, it means that we aren't good where we're at. And that's a problem.
Yep.
Because I feel like expectation here, we're trying to shift it into inspiration, right? Yeah. Like, so that it's like, I'm good where I am, but I'm inspired to do some other things. Right. And that is a completely different conversation than I expect this out of myself, or these are things that until I achieve them, I'm not good, kind of conversation that a lot of times we have with ourselves.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think this came to me because this last week, because it was therapy day, I like had this idea that I'll get my work done early. I'll get on early, get my work done, take a long lunch, go get my order in Portland, which is like a 25-minute drive, right? Get my stuff and then stop at the consignment shop to drop off my, you know, my donations, and then come home, and then I'll have therapy and time enough for therapy. And I kept stacking my schedule. And I was just like, I started getting like more and more anxious, and I started getting more and more upset. And I'm like, I was laying in bed. I'm like, Grace, fuck this shit. Like, okay, if you don't want to go to Portland, don't do it. Like, don't do it. You're allowed to have time in your day that's not filled up with a meeting or a schedule or something to do. You don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't mean you're more productive. You're just stressing yourself the fuck out. Like,
yeah.
And it was just like, and just me giving myself permission to not do it. I've been doing that a lot this weekend. Okay, don't do it. I have to clean my house because I have, you know, I have somebody coming to stay with my cat while I'm away. Oh, you should have seen that list. And it was just like, nope, I don't have to do any of this. I don't. But I want to, and there's things that I want to do. And so, but I don't have to do them because it's not necessary. It's me being judgmental of myself and my space.
Yeah. Checking in with our belief systems, I feel like is like number one. Whenever people have expectations, I'm like, well, what do you believe that means? Right? Like we have to, because the expectation comes from a belief of some sort. And if you're troubled by your expectation, then likely you're also troubled by your belief. You just haven't gone deep enough to know what it is that you're trying to shift. So you're chasing your tail, right? Yeah. Like, so what is the thing? What is actually happening here when we have all of these expectations, right? Like what is the perfection achievement part of it, right? Like where are we really trying to go with all of this? What does it believe? What do I believe about myself if these expectations are met? And it's like wild. Some of the places that, I mean, some of the places I've gone with myself and, you know, with clients of just being like, after you say it out loud, you're like, that's so dumb. Like I actually don't care about that. Why am I acting like I care about that? I really don't. But that subconscious part of me still had an attachment that I didn't like understand, right? So I'm fighting against myself, right? Like when we talk about freedom, I mean, more than anything, we talk about, because people love that word. I love that word. But it's kind of like, okay, so if I want freedom and then I watch myself doing things that are based in an expectation of achievement that make me not feel free, it's like you're literally doing the opposite of what you want because your belief system's in the way, because you believe that if you don't do that, you're lazy.
Yeah.
But it's actually freedom. You're denying your freedom because you're calling it laziness, right? Yeah. And it's just like, what?
I know. And, you know, as you were saying, I'm like, how many times have we sat here and been like, call in ease and grace, call, manifest the wealth that's around you. But yet, you know, and I'm just like, I call it in, but I refuse it by my actions, like my actions refuse it. And I'm just like, girl,
right. Please. It's so crazy. But then, you know, we chase these other ones, which is so wild, right? Like it's wild. These unreasonable ones.
I think I will blame partly society and the culture of hustle, mm-hmm. and the culture, also our upbringing. Like I get that our parents were the generation that had the parents that were kind of near or right after the Depression, mm-hmm. and so yes, 1,000%. They had to work, and that was their only way of surviving because there was literally nothing. And there's this, and then they pass this idea on that you have to work harder for what you earn. And there's this understanding, and it keeps getting passed on generation to generation.
Because it was true for a generation, right? Like, right. And so it's really hard. We talk about this all the time because we have trouble with it. It's really hard to tell myself that it worked, but it's not best. Okay, but it worked.
Yeah.
How could it not be best?
Yeah. And I think as I'm thinking about this, some of the things I feel is that you have to, there's a point where your quality of life is more important than the old programs, right? It's not to say we don't still work hard and earn money and do the things. It's not that I need to take a vacation all year, but it's about the pressure that I put on myself and the way that I do it, right? The pressure isn't put in a sense of creating my business. The pressure isn't put in creating and putting the energy there. It's put in the places where I know I can earn extra and doing it there. And like, so there's that belief system of like, okay, you know, so we have to look at if we're trying to become more of a solo entrepreneur or earn more money on the side with our own business, what is our relationship to it? Is there a part of us that doesn't believe in it? Is there a part of us that doesn't believe it'll bring us what we need? And I think that that creates the pressure in other places that we have, like our jobs or our, you know, where we do make regular money. And then we fear that leap of faith, but I understand the fear. And sometimes a leap of faith isn't calculated enough because there isn't a such a wholehearted belief in what you're doing and that it's okay and that you are going to be able to do it. It's like we were talking too in the pregame about the idea of needing to be in desperation before we'll trust.
Mm-hmm.
And doing the, like, being in that space of, like, being done with corporate, being burnt out, being at that space until you trust yourself to create a business. And even then, it's easier to go get a new job, some other corporate toxic place, than it is to create your own business. And so there's this tangled web, I think, of belief systems and understandings and old paradigm type of thinking that I think we're all being invited to examine and to look at, and what part of that web do we want to keep and what part of it do we let go of? And it's not to say that you don't work hard. It's just to say you don't sacrifice your wellness for the sake of working.
Yeah. And even when you say that, right, like, it's like we have to disclaimer and be like, no, we can still work hard. And it's like, why is that such a threat that we have to protect against, right? Like, to be able to be like, no, you still have to work hard. I still have to work hard. Yeah. Right. Like, you know, and then, like, when I say it, I'm kind of like, no, I don't. My work is not hard. It is not hard. I love my work. The hardness of it most of the time is like, if I screw up my schedule and I spread everything out too much and I like don't have time in between to do certain things, and I screw up my whole day, right? Like, where I'm like, oh God, like I probably could have structured that better so that I could get into some things, right? Like, it's not hard and it's okay, right? Like, I had to let go of the idea that, like, no, sometimes it can be pretty easy, you know? And that's what, you know what I mean? Like, that's not the measure of whether or not I am doing something that's worthy, right? Yeah. Like, and that's, I mean, that was something I had to break because that's what I grew up with, right? Like, it's hard work, you know, does a whole number of wonderful things, supposedly. And all it ever did was, like, make me tired and sad, right? Like, I did not want to work what felt like hard, right? Like, it didn't fulfill me because I don't want to work hard. I want to work well. I want to love what I do. I want to work inspired. And hard doesn't have to be there. Right. But we still have that thing in there where we're like, yes, we have to disclaimer that you may have to work hard. Right. Everybody's heart is different. So what does that mean? Right. Yeah. Like, for me, the hard work, I would say, would probably be when I had to work with kids, because I took a contract that supposedly I wasn't going to work with kids. And then they literally piled me with kids. And I was like, what the fuck? Right. Like, and that was hard for me. I chose it. I chose to stay in it for a certain amount of time until I put enough things in place so that I could get rid of it. Right. And so that was hard work, but I was not about it. I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to wear that badge of trophy to be like, I worked so hard today. Like, no, I hate it. I do not want to work hard. I want to work happy. I want to work inspired. Right. Like, some of the difficulty that I've had throughout creating my business, it was a different kind of hard. Right. But it was an inspired hard. And so it just feels different than that, like, ugh, hard, yeah, you know, that hard, like, time hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and there's a hardness in, I don't want to really do this, but I have to, and there's a hardness in, I want to do this. And so, yep, I have to put time and effort and energy into it, but the reward is going to be so much more soul filling than it would be this type of hard. It's like me working hard for my kind of 9-to-5 job. Like, yes, it's rewarding, but not really. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a good thing I'm salary, because I'd probably try to do overtime, and I'm not about that anymore.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, but then there's this other side of it. And I think my struggle with that idea, Vanessa, and especially being an entrepreneur, is that I hadn't figured it out what I wanted to do. Like I have many different things I like to do, mm-hmm. but I don't think I figured it out until I got that message from Spirit on the eclipse about it. And I think that's why even the things that I try to do in that space, I was starting to resent. I was starting to get really resentful because I was doing it in a way that my old brain thought that's the way that you make the money and that's the way that you do it, right? It was still in that sense of working for another person. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, so why? And then it's like, okay, is there lack of trust for me to follow through, lack of discipline that I judge myself for not having, or that I've judged myself of not having enough discipline? Is it that my depression sometimes takes over for days and then I get stuck and sometimes I don't want to do those things, you know, but I don't realize is the less I think many of us, the less we do the soul sucking work, the more that we do the work that fits with us or that feels good, the more like we're apt to do that type of work versus the other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Like, I think we, you know, like, but until we sit down and have these kind of real, honest, deep conversations with ourselves, we just run the program, right? We just run the friggin' program, right? Where we go, well, everything's going to be hard. Right? Like, you just like the work is just a different kind of hard, right? You know? And so that's just how it is. Work is hard. Work. I used to even say it where it would be like, well, we wouldn't call it work if it wasn't hard. And now I'm like, oh, that's so dumb. I wish I could erase any place I ever said that. But that was my programming, right? Because I'm just like, I don't even know what the word work really means sometimes. Because I'm like, I know that work is what I supposedly do, right? When I sit down with clients, that's what, when people ask me what I do for work, that's what I tell them I do. But yeah. Like the idea of work doesn't actually exist in that place, right? So it doesn't actually describe what I do, right? Like, it's so weird, right? It's just a word, but look at all the meanings that it has. Look at all the weight that it has. Look at how it transforms the way that we believe things are or are not happening.
Yeah.
Wild, right? And I think like when we go back into those expectations that we have of ourselves, I mean, even the words where, I mean, we're talking about the word work. We've talked about lazy multiple times. I mean, sometimes it is as simple as the words that we are using. Yeah. Are not an accurate description of what we're trying to do or what we are doing. And so we are messing with our own vibration without knowing it, right? Without being conscious of it, right? What is my expectation of myself? If you ask me that, I'm probably not even going to give you an answer that is what actually happens during the day, because all of those little things that I expect of myself, I don't think are, it's like when you ask me, they're not big enough to tell you. But they're big enough in my day to stress me out.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Like, what are your expectations of yourself? Well, you know, I expect that I will, you know, provide for me a life that's great and for my daughter that's great, you know, and ease and grace and blah, 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 blah. On a daily basis, I'm expecting myself to have a clean house. I'm expecting myself to be the best counselor ever, to be the best mom ever, to be present, to never say something wrong, to, you know, be really good friend, to answer my messages on time, to, you know, those are all my daily expectations. I don't tell people that, right?
But
if I did, man, I would be like, you know, I don't want to do it.
No, I don't blame you. That sounds like a lot. And, you know, I think that's coming into my periphery too, is that I'm in that space of seeing where I'm subconsciously, sneakily, like self-punishing, like self-judging and self-disempowering. And, you know, and more of these places where the expectations show up, like, you know, I think that those are the tapes. Like, we get stuck in those things that we have to do in our head because it's an expectation versus a choice. And so we sit there and wind them around. Like, I'd like to clean my car and like vacuum it out and kind of like do the yearly, like, protection on it and stuff. And but it, that just sits spinning in my head, because, and then I get mad, right? The expectations of me during the week, I get mad that on the weekends I have to do more work for somebody else. And then I start to get resentful. And so then the expectation keeps going. And then I'm like, and then I have to get rebellious and be like, I'm sitting on the fucking couch and watching a TV show for 20 minutes. It's like, fuck that. And I have to get mad. And I'm like, why does life have to be like this? It's like, I don't want to feel like this, that, and like, I feel like I have to fight for that. I have to fight to sit down and do so. It's awful.
I know. Well, because we say it out loud and we're just like we just roll our eyes and shake our head to be like, I know when I'm saying it, but I also know when I'm doing it that I can't access what it is that I'm saying right now. Like, I can't access the, like, really, like, you don't have to be mad, because guess what? You're going to sit on that couch for 20 minutes anyway, because that's, you know where this is leading, right? Like the thing about knowing about your rebellious self and finding the clues along the way is that you're like, it's coming. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I can choose to do it because I know I'm recognizing that I need it.
Yeah.
And that it's part of my, like, it'll be good for me. Or I can go through that whole thing and wait until I'm saying, fuck it. Like, I could also make sure that that energy shows up before I'll do it. Right? It's like, okay. If I truly say I don't want to do that, then I have to work in whatever mental gymnastics I have to do in order to let myself have time to sit down and watch TV without guilt or without feeling like it's a waste of time or I'm being lazy. That it's literally just little breaks for me, little, like, treats for me, because I deserve treats the same way that a dog does when they do a trick, right? Yeah, like, you did some work today. Why don't you sit down and, like, you know, watch a little TV as a treat? Like, we should be able to do that. But we wait until the rebellion part, because then, right, if I'm fed up, I have a reason. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, I can't do the thing. So if I can't do the thing, I'm allowed to do something else.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and like, yeah. And I know these things, right? I know when the days of the weekends where I'm like, I do something, I do a few things, I sit down and I take a break. And for 20 minutes, maybe an hour, like, however long. And then I'm like, oh, I'll go do more things. I will get so much more done in that ease and flow through my day than I will if I'm like hardcore go at it for 2 hours and get shit done. And I'm exhausted and I'm mad because I feel like I wasted my entire weekend doing something else that I wanted to do. And, you know, I think too, is that part of the process of having unreasonable expectations is the realization of where those projections from the people in our lives when we were young, right? Mm-hmm. The projections of, you know, the examples of seeing my grandfather, like, work, like, he worked a job, like, doing heavy, like, big things, like heavy things. And then he would come home and milk the cows. And that was a lot. And he needed a knee replacement for years. It hurt him so bad, but he just kept moving through it. And he finally did it. And it was like, oh, okay. But he expected so. And so those examples that are in my mind playing that I'm like, oh. And then I think about multi-generational healing, right? And our expectations. My grandfather, he did that because that was his expectation. That's, you know, his dream was to have a full service dairy farm forever. But it was hard because they needed extra money. So he had to go work. Mm-hmm. And so, like, and I wonder sometimes part of it is that, you know, in multi-generational healing, we kind of skip generations. So our contracts or our connections are with our grandparents, right? Mm-hmm. That generally, or like a great aunt, like the next beyond your parents or your uncles and aunts. Mm-hmm. And one of the things is, like, I question myself is, does the unrealistic expectations I have, is that something to do with my inner idea of needing to heal that within my grandfather? Like, mm-hmm. I've had 6 joint replacements. And like, so it's like, am I having all these? I mean, I needed them, believe me. But like, is this all happening because of the belief of, you know, it's okay, you can do these things and take care of yourself? Is it this subconscious process of me trying to heal that within them? Because that's another factor. One of the things that, like I was thinking as you were talking was my father, like so many of issues I have, like are like my father's. Like my dad was a paraplegic, so there was a lot of complications, but some of the things he struggled with, I find I'm struggling with. And I'm like, whoa, I'm like, step back. Like take this to like beyond the self stuff and take it to the idea of the, like, I'm like, am I doing this stuff to prove or to heal something within them because of witnessing it or subconsciously energetic? And I'm like, I decided a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, done with a capital D. And I was like, I have, like, I'm opening the door up to the idea and the thought of energetically, like, we can cancel contracts. We can shift them. We can change them. We don't have to do these things with our relatives or with the people in our lives. Those can be changed. And so, yeah. So
yeah. Well, and I think it's opening up the door to being like, what is the actual healing of that? Right. Like, do we heal it by doing a camaraderie thing? Like, I've got it from here. I take the baton and I run as hard as you and as, you know, like, and all that kind of stuff. Or is our healing the detachment, right? Like, is our healing saying, you did it and I saw that you did it and I'm going to do it a different way? That's how I'm healing the generational trauma of it, or the, you know, the generational bad habits or whatever. You know, like, I feel like when we shift the idea of what it means to heal our bloodlines, for lack of a better term, it frees it all the way up to be like, what would I have actually done to heal my grandfather, right? Like, if I had access to everything, all the money you need to have your dream, all the whatever you need to have your body work, that's all I would do. I would just give him the means to be able to live his dream.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So then the healing of that would be for me to do that for myself and to show up for my, for future generations or for anybody that I'm connected to understand that concept versus, you know, feeling like we have to do it in a camaraderie place. My pain is your pain.
Or suffering your pain and having in the way of healing it through us. Because I said to somebody, I was like, I think we have enough suffering of our own lifetimes that we don't need to be helping and healing others of theirs. And it's like,
through suffering more. Like, it actually doesn't make sense, right? Like, especially when we talk about manifestation. Well, then why would I choose to suffer if I'm trying to end suffering?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Like, right? Like, so what I'm supposed to do instead is not do any of that, right? Is that the way that I heal your suffering is by being free, is by being the, you know, being and embodying the opposite. Right. And that's the only way I have to do it. I don't have to address, I don't even have to address it personally. Right. This is one of the things that, like, people, you know, like, are always like, millennial this and like as in labels. And I'm like, these are the cycle breakers. They are coming around to go, no. We don't know what the answer is, but we know that that's not the answer. We're not going to do that. That's terrible. Right. You know, and, yeah, right. They call a lot of things into question of just being like, I don't think that we have to perpetuate cycles in order to heal anything. We can just do something completely different. We can just skip to letter M from C if we want to. We can do that. And you know, it is harder for, I think, a lot of us, because we're shifting through all of that belief system, all of that, like, you know, just that stuff that's subconscious. Yeah. Like, I think about my own life, you know, where, and I'm just like, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely, when I look at where I was raised and how I was raised and my family, I mean, I'm out there for sure. Right. Like, And it's like, how did I get out here? Right. And the way I got out here was literally just being like, I don't want to do what other people want me to do. And maybe some of that is like the rebellious spirit that is just part of my personality or part of my, you know, makeup because of, you know, the stars aligning in the world when I, you know, whatever, maybe some of that is that way, but that was how I got this way. Right. Like was to be able to say, I just want to know what I want. And then I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And why do I want it? Because then if I know why I want it and it has nothing to do with proving anything to anybody else or being something to somebody else, then, you know, I have a good shot at it being from me and I'll find out along the way. Right. Yeah. And like, that's like, I mean, that's how I got where I'm at. You know, somebody asked me the other day, like, how do you work for yourself and it sustains you, you know, like how do you actually survive? Right. And I was just like, I don't really know how to describe it because it was at one point, it was almost that desperation conversation that we had where I was like, I'm so tired of trying to be something. I'm so tired of always feeling like I have to get this certification or, you know, when I had the conversation of renewing my license and being like, I don't want to do it. I don't want it. Why am I trying to force myself to do it? I don't want it. Right. And having to sit with myself and saying, why don't you want it? What's your problem? Like, because it's real. It's not something you need to shame yourself for. There's a reason why you don't want it. And if it's just fear, we will work through that. We will go do something uncomfortable to get over the fear. But if it really is your heart and soul saying that's crushing, then we're not going to do it. And we didn't. And it was the greatest thing that I ever did, right? Like I just got tired of trying to follow all of these belief systems that just didn't feel right. And then when I allowed myself to just sit in these spaces, be myself, act like myself, right? Like, which had always been like from grad school, they were like, yeah, you can't do any of that stuff anymore. You're a professional now. And people expect you to be a certain way and live your life a certain way. And I was like, I'm in trouble. Like, I better pick another career field because this isn't the one. Right?
Self quick.
Exactly. And it became steady when I threw my hands up in the air and I said, I'm just going to sit down with people. I'm going to be authentic. I'm going to know what I know. I'm going to tell them if I don't know, because there's no shame in that either. And that carried it to a point where, yeah, like I will, you know, like need more money as time goes on, of course, but it's why I can sustain my life with what I've built, is because I really do believe that I did it from what I wanted and what I needed versus what everybody else thinks it's supposed to be like or look like or how much money it's supposed to make or how many hours you're supposed to work or anything.
Yeah. And I think, well, I mean, in seeing you go through that, when you went through that whole process, like just before, like with the kids and getting certified, not certified, licensed, and seeing you go through that and then seeing you have the courage to put it down and seeing the success since you've put it down is pretty outstanding. But, and you, like you said, you moved into that space of this is what I want to do versus living the expectations of others.
Yeah. Yeah. And it didn't feel right. Like the more I did it and then like tried to go backwards, I was like, oh God, like this feels really wrong. Like really wrong. And now everybody, I mean, now I don't stop talking about how wrong it is. Like the DSM is the worst book on earth. Like, I will tell everybody that, you know, but that came from allowing this process to be like, no, you know, you believe what you believe. And now you've seen enough people to know all kinds of other stuff too. Right. Like, and so, yeah, just don't hold on to all of those things, because every single person that we follow everywhere, right? Like if you think of since the dawn of time, everybody, I mean, even if we want to talk to the people who follow Jesus, like he was not following, he was just being, right? Mm-hmm. Like being and doing, and he was admired for being himself and doing things, right? Mother Teresa, right? Like, and obviously you can tell that I was raised Catholic because those are the first two things that came to my freaking brain. It's very annoying. But at the same time, right? Like, we're thinking of people who just said, I'm going to do things from my heart and my soul. And that's it, right? Psychology. We go with, hey, Sigmund Freud made up some stuff or whatever. But then we had Carl Jung go, I don't know, man. I feel like this subconscious thing. And like, there's something to do with like astrology. You know, like he was just like, And people started to follow him, right? Like, there's all this stuff that goes along with intuitively doing things different that we have decided in society is extremely dangerous and are trying to squash that within people. But we continue. It's so funny because as we say that, we continue to follow the people who break the cycle, right? Like, we love the people who are like, no, like Brené Brown being like, shame is bullshit and we're not going to do it. And we're like, yay, Brené, right? Meanwhile, all the times before that, we were just like, shame is good. We should feel shame.
Oh, right? I think it gives us hope, right? When we see people that come out of it and then have these realizations, it gives us hope that we'll get there one day.
Yes, and that it's safe to do that, right? Like, if there's nothing more in this world that I want everybody to just be like, it's safe to do that, because it's not a conversation of saying, I'm right. You know, like, people like Brené Brown aren't going, I'm right and you're all wrong. She's saying, here's a conversation to have. Here's something that I've discovered, and here's the way it works within me and other people that I've seen. It's a sharing of an experience. It's a sharing of a concept. Take it and run with it, whatever way you do. If somebody else takes her concept and applies it somewhere else, she's not saying, listen, you're wrong. She's saying, that's friggin' interesting, right? Like, weird, right? Like, I haven't experienced it, but it doesn't mean it's not real. Tell me more. You know, we're not good at that, because we need to be right and we need to be controlling people and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
I'm obviously fired up. I feel like I'm like even sweaty. I'm wearing a sweatshirt, so I don't know, but yeah, because it's a freedom talk, right? Like, freedom from unreasonable expectations is like the ultimate, right? Because it's not about not wanting to do things. It's just literally not killing yourself to do things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think, you know, what to say, how to get to those places, how to understand the expectations that you have of yourself. I think sometimes everybody's reaction to their own expectations are different. I feel that sometimes, like, we don't understand their expectation until somebody points it out to us that we have an expectation, and see where that lies in your life. Where are the places where you feel like you have to fight for time or fight for something that in your own world, like not something that somebody else created, but that you created? Like, what process, what environment did you create that you have to be angry to get a chance to sit at the couch and watch your favorite show? Like, how did that happen? What are you asking of yourself that you feel you have to be rebellious? And just kind of follow the rabbit hole, because I think it's like you said, Vanessa, there's a freedom conversation, because we seek freedom from everything outside of us, but we don't understand that sometimes the influence of what's outside of us lives within us. And we perpetuate the things we've learned outside of us internally. And so it's not just about, you know, freeing ourselves from the trauma of our parents and all of that and doing the work and, you know, whatever it is, but there's a part of them that you have learned that is inside of you, that's how you treat yourself.
Yep.
And when you begin to get curious to see the similarities, that's when you understand the path to being more free.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. I think we're both just kind of staring at each other like, this is a lot, dude.
Yeah, between this and the reading, I'm just like, I when we did our pregame, I remember being like, you know, when that cord, whatever that cord was, cut on Eclipse Day, I've just kind of been like, ugh. You know, like, I'm just tired of all of the overthinking. I'm tired of all of the stressing. I'm tired of all the, like, I need to know, I need to know. Like, I'm just tired of it, right? Like, I'm just begging myself to flow more. right? Like just begging myself to trust more, right? That like, and I've been in those spots enough times to know that I can do it. It's just like, what tricks do I got to do in order to get there now? Because I have different feelings, expectations, desires, whatever that whole thing is, right? Like, so it's just to sit down and evaluate without pressure, without judgment, without whatever, you know, it's just a simple conversation, the way that I would have a conversation with my daughter about what she wants for breakfast, right? Like, it does not have to be a big major ordeal, you know? And since then, it's just kind of been like, okay. Okay. And it's not an easy thing to do, but I want it because I do know the value of it. I do like it. I do like flow, yeah. You know? So it's kind of like, well, in order to be in flow, you have to know this. In order to be in flow, you have to let go. That's how it works.
That's the uncomfortableness of being like, what?
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's like, if you want to look back in history and go ahead and deny it and go, well, this is the time that being all stressed out is going to work, then go ahead. I mean, you're allowed to do that. You can do whatever you want. But like history, if you actually look at it, time passes anyway. You're choosing how you time. You're choosing how you pass that time. Gonna pass anyway.
1,000%. Yes. Well, friends, we hope you've given you some food for thought. We hope that you see and understand and have, you know, and I think too about unreasonable expectations. There's a part of us that judges that, you know, mm-hmm. that we have them. And I think even in that space, like having kindness and mm-hmm. having understanding of, oh, friend, you learned this. You just learned this. Mm-hmm. This is, we just need to learn something new. It's okay. That's how we were learned, you know, when we were, how to work through ourselves. So mm-hmm. yeah. If you need us, have any questions, need something, please reach out to us. We hope you have a good week. Remember, just keep breathing, allowing yourself a lot of time and a lot of grace. We love you and we'll see you next week.
Yes, love you.
If you were triggered by anything said in this podcast, please dial 911 or go to your local emergency room.
To more deeply understand your unique emotional reaction to today's podcast, I'd love for you to connect with me. You can find me at VanessaPerryCounselor@gmail.com or at www.vanessaperry.net.
And if you wish to take your healing further through energy work or channeling angels or the highest level beings, please reach out to me, Grace, at graceevergreen.com or graceevergreen@outlook.com. And always remember, you are loved,
you are worthy,
and the world needs your light.